American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, May 26, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too! But you only actually have to listen. But if you listen and distribute, you probably are taking more of a stand just by listening. But hey, I'll take whatever I can get, because at this point of life, we're getting to the stage of our existence when people need the jaws of life in order to get their cranials to even function, let alone get apart and open. That's why there's two lobes. So they have an open state and in a bad state. Right now, our brains all look like a broken Mr. Mouth. But my name is Sean Kennedy, and you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio, well, not really radio, it's actually internet podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Radio Red Mercury. And don't forget, of course, we have if you're so online and we're calling to the children of server, those little demons and angels who float around inside like voices on so many instant messaging programs of people we've never met are not even sure they exist, you can hook up with all of them, the Army of the Flying Monkeys, at the Node Archers Grid 137-102-999. And that has nothing to do with Satanism, even though it sort of does look like it. The node, by the way, is Archers, A-R-C-H-E-R-S, which is a lot like the Battletech mech, which we're still waiting to get the Battletech mech logo in here and the one with the Robin Hood logo. We've got a couple of really cool logo submissions for the Second Life node. See previous episodes for details. And as well, we're broadcasting the New Wasteland, which is a country which is rapidly developing as we speak. If you haven't seen the New Wasteland, you can check it out. Just open up your Google Earth and type in 34031941 North 11737 29.50 West. And there you will find the beginnings of one of the greatest tent cities ever built by man, destined for greatness. Soon, whereas many, many people are going to be moving there. They really want to go for it. And besides, the banks are going to show up and start taking away people's houses. So realistically, you know, if you're nonviolent and you want to do the right thing, you're just going to move to Tent City. Really? I mean, what other fucking option have you got? But, you know, hey, that's just kind of the world we're living in, the ever-evolving cyberpunk state. That's why I think they were really down on role-playing games. That's why I think the FBI raided Steve Jackson's office back in the day with, Bruce Sterling talked about it in the Hacker Crackdown. Which, if you haven't read that book, my God, there's some Recomedia for the day. But they raided his office because he was making a game called Cyberpunk back in the role-playing game days. And I think if you actually go back and get your hands on any of those books, of which, of course, I have a complete set because I'm 10,000 years old and I played them first time around. But if you care, and you get your hands on a set, check it out, because it's really wild. A lot of the stuff that is in those books is showing up on the newswire every single day. It's frightening, actually, to tell you the god-awful truth. So it's an interesting thing to note on how, I don't know, yeah, just the way the world is starting to evolve. I think everything's getting extremely cyberpunk, more cyberpunk by the day. Dear Sean, let's get some feedback. I got feedback right off the top. Dear Sean, I have a question about some basic boot restoration. Yes. Now, I should, don't give this guy crap. Okay, don't give this guy crap, because he actually said this wasn't a, Dear Sean, but I was hurting for content. So here we go. And someone in Patrolling, in season one of Patrolling, you seem very certain of your ability to polish / restore the leather on your boots. Well, I have a pair of Garrisons here, in very good condition, about 2 years old, polished and scuffs out regularly. But I stubbed my toe really hard on a flight of concrete stairs, the kind with the rocks sort of jutting out, and put a nice big divot in the toe. To make matters worse, these particle boots happened to be steel-toed, so the leather didn't give any flex at all. Instead, I just kinched between a sharp rock and a sharp rock and a hard place, giving it two or three good polishings to reduce the problem. I would now like to know if you have any suggestions to help restore the leather. No! Can't really restore the leather. This is going out to cybernetics. If you damage your combat boots in any way, and these are for ones that are issued stuff, not like the really Gucci Danner ones. Realistically, if you're into wearing garrison boots, my friend, if you wish to do that, that is a lifestyle choice. But if you can afford them, okay, if you can afford them and you want to wear, like, the whole Doc Martin long boot thing, you will buy yourself a set of Go Devil Danners, or there's one made by Matterhorn that looks very much like Go Devil Danners. And but the thing is if you don't live in, like, a cold, wet climate, you're kind of screwed. Like, if you live in a sandy area, Danners also makes a desert tan version. But, I mean, you walk around in those things, people are going to think you're absolutely insane. And they're expensive. Now, back to the combat boots in general. If you wish to repair these because you want to wear them to punk shows, like where I wear my garrisons to, I would recommend that you take a new can of shoe polish outside, take a lighter, make sure you take the lid off, and you have the lid handy, and you light the polish on fire. The polish is made mostly of alcohol, and that will burn. And then once the fire spreads across the whole surface, it'll spread very slowly. You'll see what I mean when you do this. And once it spreads across the whole surface, you very lightly put the lid, just the top of the lid back on it, so you smother the fire, and you're left with melted, molten shoe polish. Then you take a dollop of that on a toothbrush, and you sort of put it inside the hole, inside the boot. The more times you can do this, like if you can paste it in, like with almost like a little paintbrush or something like that, put it in pretty thick, stick it in the freezer to help it cool faster, give it a quick polish to make it hard, polish them when they're frozen so it really sticks, and do this a few times, and you'll find that you can kind of like putting Bondo on your boot. And if you don't know anything about putting on Bondo, I can't really help you. But that is Sean's boot restoration garrison tip. Hey, Sean! It's nice! Oh, okay, here's some other feedback. That was supposed to be the sort yourself out. But it's not really a sort yourself out, it's actually sort your boots out, and we don't have a segment call. Okay, whatever, I put it in the wrong place in the show format. What do you want from me here? All right, anyway, all right. Now, this is a great piece of feedback right here. Are you ready for this one? This is one that's going to be up for some debate. Now, I'm going to read it, and I don't want anybody to get upset, okay? Because this guy's got a point. You know, he's got a point, he wants to make it. So, you know, free speech and all that good stuff. Hey, Sean. It'd be nice if you stopped cursing so much. I've measured your wording on every show, and you're averaging about 45 to 55 curse words per show. Maybe replacing fucking, fucked, fucked, and fuck you with other adjectives would show how truly intelligent you really are. I really like your show, and I'm sure many more WOGs do as well, but we don't need to hear all your cursing every 45 times a show, or else we'd stop listening. The whole point of your show is to have listeners, and said we don't want to listen to your cursing, then you decide what you need to do. Thank you, Walter. You know, and the best thing about this is that the guy is not wrong. You know, really, he's not wrong. You know, his point here is that if I want to reach everybody out there in the really real world, in the grown-up world, in the Walt Disney world, right, the suburbs, I should stop swearing. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, you got that parental guidance sticker on there. It's no good, right? So this I think is the nature of what he's talking about. And I think, you know, maybe he's not wrong. You know, you got to think to yourself, well, he might have a point, you know? He might actually have a point. Now, the thing is, though, can you stop doing it? You know, do I choose to swear? Maybe I haven't grown out of it. Maybe it's a phase. Why do people swear? Well, we swear because it's an act of rebellion. It's an act of rebellion. That's why you do it. I mean, people only learn curse words and stuff like that as an act of rebellion. That's what it is. And when you swear, it makes you feel empowered because you want to swear. No one's controlling my actions. See what I mean? That's the whole concept of it. I don't know if that's why I swear. I think it's probably a bad habit. And I've actually said in many, many previous shows that I would also like to stop swearing. But, you know, when you get impassioned and you get honest about things, I don't consciously swear on the air. I don't swear totally insanely when I'm in everyday regular conversation. I probably do with friends. And that's the way I sort of look at the whole newsreel thing, is I'm actually talking to my friend server. And my friend server chooses to let other people listen. And that's probably, doesn't that sound arrogant though, eh? But anyway, you know, that's sort of it. So if you got a viewpoint on this, and you want to know what I think, and you want to know, you know, what do you think? What do you think about the swearing thing is where I'm going with this. What do you think? If you want to know whether or not I should maybe try to stop swearing. I don't know. I mean, we talk about this on the air all the time. But, you know, I'd be interested to get some more feedback on this. But Walter, well, Walter's made his point. Now, the thing I really dig about Walter is, before I get off this topic, because I will. You know, because I got that other mail saying, Sean, you're swearing too much. And Sean, you're going on tangents and we want to hear about the news. I'm getting in trouble. But, you know, that's the nice thing about having it be my show. one of the, what Walter pointed out here is that he's averaging 45 to 55 curse words per show. That's a hell of an average. Did you actually average them? Like, did you count them? Or did you count one of them? Or are you lying to me? Because I'm a little bit concerned about your numbers. Like, what method did you use to deduce that? Did you actually sit there with a notepad and, like, make little ticks every time I said a word that was a bad word? I'd like to know. I really would. If you're listening to the show, and I'm not picking on you, I'm interested about how you did that. You know, just me. Like, did you build a script in a program to count swearing? I mean, it's interesting. Anyway, in crazy cult news, I've got some crazy cults. Speaking of crazy cults, I was talking about this in Archer's before the show. We, you know, because we broadcast live there. And in crazy cult news, originally sent to me by Sane Trainer. He was first out of the gate, okay? It was Sane Trainer. Then the rest of the goddamn internet sent me this story, okay? And you knew this was going to lead the show. A teenager is facing prosecution for using the word cult to describe the Church of Scientology. An unnamed 15-year-old was served the summons by the City of London Police when he took part in a peaceful demonstration opposite the London headquarters of the controversial religion, period, full stop. Now, at this point of the story, okay, it should become very, very clear to everyone who listens to my program why it is that I tell people, do not approach the Church of Scientology directly. You are never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to stop them that way. They have too much money. And all they will do is they will hang you up on hooks on the road to Rome. Okay, that's all they're going to do. And that's why I've said time and time again, do not do this. But do they care? No. No. Sooner or later, somebody was going to come along and do exactly this thing, where they set up a, you know, this anonymous thing, and they're out for blood now, and they're like, you know, you're not going to beat them that way. I mean, realistically, the guys in South Park did the best job. You want to know who killed Scientology? It was Trey Parker and his buddy there, whose name I can't remember right now. But, yeah, it's those guys, because they brought the most attention to it. Shit, I've been screaming about Scientology since fucking turn of the century, okay? I mean, nobody cared. And then along came, 9/11 and the way they got their nice little hooks into everybody with the cult thing and everything they put up on the screen on CNN. They started drawing a lot of fire. So, you know, now there's people attacking them directly. And the victim here is the 15-year-old kid. Because what the fuck does a 15-year-old kid know? I mean, for all, no disrespect meant to all you 15-year-olds out there. But listen to me when I tell you, you actually have no idea what's going on. Okay, it's unbelievable out there in the world what is going on right now. And I think that the best thing that a 15-year-old kid should be doing, rather than running around in the City of London waving a sign so he could get arrested and turned into some kind of sacrificial fucking lamb by a bunch of political parties, nobody gives a shit about the kid. Right, so this is the problem. Now, they can't name the kid. I'm going to finish the story here, okay? Officers confiscated a placard with the word cult on it. Jesus Christ. The officers confiscated a placard with the word cult on it. Is Jesus Christ a swear word? I hope not. from a youth who's under 18. A case filed to be shown to the Crown Prosecution Service. The date has not been set for him to appear in court. The decision to issue the summons has angered human rights activists and support groups for victims of cults. Yes, yes, I imagine it has. And that's about as effective as it's going to get. They're going to have that line in the paper right there. The incident happened during a protest against Church of Scientology on May 10th. Demonstrators from the anti-Scientology group Anonymous, who were outside the church's 23 million pound headquarters near St. Paul's Cathedral, were banned by police for describing Scientology as a cult by police, because it was abusive and insulting. We're banned by police from describing it as a cult. Oh, there's a typo there. Because it was abusive and insulting. So they were banned because they said that calling it a cult was hate crime. Writing on an anti-Scientology website, the teenager facing the court said, "I brought the sign to the May 10th protest that Scientology is not a religion, it is a dangerous cult." Which it is. Within 5 minutes of arriving, I was told by a member of the police that I was not allowed to use that word. That word! Like a swear word, Walter! What about that word? What makes a swear word, Walter? You know, because I'm doing out 45 of 50 of the show, so tick that off. Make sure you get this. And the final decision would be made by the inspector. The inspector of words. Isn't this fantastic? A policewoman later read him... This is from the BBC, boys. A policewoman later read him a series of the 5 Public Order Act and strongly advised him to remove the sign. The selection prohibits the signs which have representations or words which are threatening, abusive, or insulting. The teenager refused to back down. He's going to stand his ground, quoting the 1984 High Court ruling from Mr. Justice lately, in which he described the Church of Scientology as a cult, which was corrupt, sinister, and dangerous, based on the 1984 High Court ruling. After an exchange, the policewoman handed him a court summons and removed the sign. On the website, he asks for advice on how to fight the charge. What's the likelihood I'll need a lawyer? If I have to get one? Will it have to come out of my own pocket money? And this is the shitstorm that this kid is now in. Writing on the same website, and another anonymous demonstrator said, "We also protested outside another Scientology building in Tottenham Court Road, which is policed... by a separate force, the Metropolitan Police, who never tried to stop us using the word cult. We're completely peaceful protesters expressing a perfectly valid opinion. The whole thing stinks." Yeah. Liberty Director. Holy crap. Now, isn't that just a... That's the dude's title. I'm a Liberty Director. Shami Chakrabarty said, "This... Barmy prosecution makes a mockery of Britain's free speech traditions." After criminalizing the word cult, perhaps the next step is to ban the words war and tax from peaceful demonstrations. Ian Haworth from the Cult Information Center, which provides advice for victims of cults and their families, said, "This is an extraordinary situation. If it wasn't so serious, it would be farcical. The police's job is to protect and serve. Who is being served and who is being protected in this situation? I find it very worrying." Scientology is well known to my organization. It has been a great concern for me for 22 years. I get many calls from families. Nice. The whole thing is turning into a big anti-Scientology piece. Nice. "Scientology is well known to my organization. It has been a great concern to me for 22 years. I get many calls from families with loved ones involved and ex-members who are in need of one form of help or another. The City of London Police came under fire 2 years ago when it emerged that more than 20 officers ranging from constable to chief superintendent had accepted gifts worth thousands of pounds from the Church of Scientology." Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. That's right. Church of Scientology paying off the British cops. I mean, it goes on to list, you know, the history of the Church of Scientology, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, dangerous cult much. Now, granted, this kid is probably not going to do any time. You know, he's going to wind up getting, you know, off on a crime somewhere. But they got big bucks. They got big dollars, so they might try to nail this kid down. I'd be interested if they find any more updates, because that story ran big. I don't know how big the other stories are going to be running. So if you could find out, that would be really cool. I'd like to know what's actually happening with this case. It'd be interesting to hear. Anyway, this is why old wogs, exist and need to stay alive, because you have to survive. you know. Anyway, another news story here. Gen Joke News, sent to me by Wandy. Very cool news. Cloning extinct species has been a long-standing dream of mankind. Yeah, we know about this. We long-standing since the 90s at least. The movie Jurassic Park stole the imagination of audiences worldwide with a fictitious story in which scientists used DNA extracted from long-dead dinosaurs to resurrect the beast through cloning, with disastrous results. Since the movie, cloning science has advanced at a steady pace. There's been increasing interest within the scientific community in cloning extinct creatures. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it seems unlikely that dinosaur DNA, pristine enough to produce a full genome map, would ever be found. It would be reasonably easy to sequence other extinct creatures' genomes, such as the dodo, Netherlands, woolly mammoths, and the more recent critters, which researchers have recovered soft tissue, bone marrow, skin of, example. However, such dreams were often scoffed at and remain in the realm of pseudoscience. Well, yeah, they were derided until now. In an exciting, successful new experiment, researchers at the University of Melbourne report they have taken DNA from an extinct thylacine, commonly known as a Tasmanian tiger, and inserted it into a mouse embryo, and which continued to grow with the thylacine gene in place. The process represented the first DNA from an extinct creature, which is inserted into an embryo, effectively bringing back to life in the part the extinct species. Dr. Andrew Pask, who led the research, says the experiment was the first time DNA from an extinct species has been successfully used to induce functional response in another living organism. Now, of course, this is by the science that is announced to the public. Some time back, they found soft tissue of a T-Rex. You know what I mean? And it's... They ran a news story later where they said that the whole thing was, we didn't get any DNA off of it. We didn't get any. But I'm kind of like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. How can you possibly have found a soft tissue immaculately preserved and not get any DNA off that? You know, the Tasmanian tiger, whose scientific name is Thylacine carnephalophila snuffagopoulos, or thylacine for short, from now on in this broadcast referred to as Tasmanian tiger, is an extinct marsupial from Australia that looked like a wolf. What a great fucking idea. Why don't we cross that with a hyena? Hell yeah! The last surviving member of the species died in captivity at the Hobart Zoo in 1936. The beast had killed 3 guards and was running for a 4th when it was shot by 13 muskets and half of the regiment present at the time. The gene was extracted from tissue samples of the flesh preserved in ethanol of the beast that was slaughtered at that time, which was donated by the Museum of Victoria in Melbourne, Australia. The DNA was verified to be thylacine, which was injected into the developing mouse embryo. And if you ever actually go on YouTube, there's a documentary on there. If you do a search for thylacine, thylacine, which documents how many things this thing killed. I mean, this thing, it's a pretty famous event, actually, because there was a parade going on, there were soldiers nearby, this thing went absolutely nuts, and it took like 2 volleys of gunfire to put it down. So they're going to clone this thing, and they're going to let it go. But anyway, the gene was injected to the thylacine CO2AG1 gene, which controls cartilage and bone growth. The mouse embryo was selected partially because mice have similar gene, blah, 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 blah. Now, there's a lot of groups that want to... at the end of this article, okay? All right, to be honest with you, I'm making that shit up about the thylacine, okay? That never happened, all right? I don't know, some kind of little bug. Anyway, several groups are working to make a real-life Jurassic Park-style exhibits with cloned animals. Some of them, like a team in Japan... Now, this is privatized genetic research, guys, okay? Some team in Japan are focusing on finding frozen gametes from gametes, whatever the hell they are, while others are focused on more traditional cloning. So why is the Japanese doing that? Perhaps the most ambitious is the Pilstein Park, currently being built in northeast Siberia by Sergei Zimov, who is, in fact, a James Bond bad guy. Zimov introduced a grassland ecosystem along with 100 large mammals, including reindeer, horses, and moose. He plans on eventually introducing to the park woolly mammoths, extinct saber-toothed tigers, and prehistoric bears. All cloned, of course. On the possible threat of clone tigers, he states, okay, so 1 or 2 people will be killed, like in India, but far more will die of alcohol in this place than from tigers. End quote. Greatest cloning quote ever. okay? While Zimov, who's a James Bond bad guy, and others have thus far not received revived any extinct species, thank you, Jesus, advances in clothing may one day make their dreams a reality, oh boy. And with the new Australian breakthrough, the day seems to have come much closer. Again, what could possibly go wrong? You know? Holy crap. Black ice warning, have you heard about this yet? Flashing, hell of a thing. You don't have to take an axe to a piece of hardware to perform a so-called permanent denial of service attack. A researcher this week will demonstrate a PDoS attack that can take place remotely. A PDoS attack damages the system so badly that it requires replacement or reinstallation of hardware. Unlike the infamous distributed denial of service attack, DDoS attack, which is used to sabotage a piece or a website with a cover of... As a cover for malware delivery, the PDoS is a pure hardware sabotage. We aren't seeing the PDoS attack as a way to mask another attack, such as malware insertion, but as a logical and highly destructive extension of the DDoS criminal extortion tactics seen in use today, says Rich Smith, head of research up for offensive technologies and threats at HP Systems Security Lab. You know, eventually you're going to have to start using some pretty heavy witch hunter tactics in order to catch these guys. Smith says PDoS attacks would result in a costly recovery for the victim, since it would mean installing new hardware. At the same time, it would cost the attacker much less than a DOS attack. DOS attacks require investment from an attacker during the duration of extortion, meaning renting of botnets, for example. Smith will demonstrate how network-enabled systems firmware is susceptible to PDoS attack, which he calls flashing. Flashing, this week at EUS Sec West Security Conference in London. He'll also unveil a fusing tool he developed that can be used to launch such an attack as to detect a PDoS vulnerabilities in firmware systems. Interesting. So, any WOGs in London, this is the EU Sec West Conference. And it would be very, very interesting if we could get a copy of that software. If people know people, I would very much like to get my hands on that piece of software, please. Okay? I'm not kidding, actually. If you could grab me that, that's a hell of a thing. You know what I mean? That's one of those kind of things that's why it's in newsreel. Everybody needs to do this because that's horrible. Okay, and security is not lost. We shouldn't just throw. A lot of people are talking online right now saying that, oh, well, investing in antivirus is just a waste of money. No, that's retarded. Okay, that doesn't even justify a response. You have to stand up to these people. Otherwise, you know, it's just, well, what the hell? You know, the network is supposed to be free. It's not supposed to be given over to warlords. Anyway, his so-called flash dance tool fuzzes binaries in firmware and firmware application protocols, cause PDoS, and detects PDoS weaknesses across multiple embedded systems, blah, 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 blah. So he's got this really cool piece of tech, right? Yeah, I want to know more about that. I definitely want to check it out. So, and I think that anybody out there should probably look into it. In gargoyle news, something you could use to look into. This is some good gargoyle news. This brings new meaning to the idea of local news. Google has added a new layer to Google Earth that shows Google News related to an area shown on the screen. The search company announced the addition of Lat Long Blog about a geographic matters. By specifically locating the Google News, constantly updates an index of stories from more than 4,500 news sources. So 4,500 news sources. Google Earth now shows ever-changing world of human activity as chronicled by reporters worldwide, said a Google product manager, Brandon Badger. Now then, what does that do for your cell phone? Hey, this is why we all need to get off of cell phones. Otherwise, as we get more mobile, we are going to be charged out the wazoo. So we have to make sure that we can move around on open networks and things like that. Because, yeah. By spatially locating Google News, constantly updating index of stories, they're going to be able to basically give you the propaganda as they feed it to you. Very interesting. It's an augmented reality application. The writer of the article has been a big fan of geotagging photos, but clearly the trend is much broader than that. The internet has made global news a reality, but there are several efforts underway to meet the demands of local news, too. Google News can be customized to show headlines from a given city, state, zip code, and Metacart overlay links to local news on Google Map. Very interesting. Google Earth is software that shows the planet, letting people zoom up, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. In server news. Now, you ready for this one? Scientists have built a living computer and tasked it with solving an important problem: flipping pancakes. Researchers genetically engineering the bacteria E. coli to coax its DNA into computing a classic mathematical puzzle known as the burn pancake problem. Molecules of DNA have the natural ability to store the process of information. The scientists have been performing computations with the bare DNA molecules in lab dishes since the mid-1990s. But new research reported online in the Journal of Biological Engineering. The Journal of Biological Engineering. Can somebody get me that link, please? I want to subscribe to the Journal of Biological Engineering. It is the first to do DNA computation on living cells. They're growing computers. You want to try to get, you know, if you're going to grow a computer, what a great idea, because if the super sentient being, if the singularity is going to occur, it's going to recur on a computer that's very powerful. So chances are, if we grow a computer brain, which is possible if we follow this through, we're going to wind up making a... We're going to... This is probably how the singularity is going to show up. You know, it's a wild concept. He goes on talking about this and how this thing solved this problem. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable that they're able to do this kind of stuff. Where's that going to go? You want to know where you get ideas from after now? This is what it is. You know, they're going to start growing the computers. And how long before you think we see it? Of course, the military get it first, right? The military always gets it first. And then what? You know, we'll probably get it. Oh, I'm thinking... Oh, we might start seeing living DNA maybe 5-6 years out, maybe 10 years out. Yeah, I'd probably give that a 10-year timeline before that starts showing up. So I'll be in my 40s. How old am I now? 35 now, 10 years. I'll be 45, almost 50. Hey, well, let's hope they're friendly, because I'll be this 50-year-old dude, and I don't know if I'm going to have enough, you know, get up and go to fight these guys. Now, again, me being, you know, I'm all about augmented reality. That is where I believe the future is going to go. I'm so close to building the wearable myself to build an augmented reality system. But the thing is now here's the trick, right? If you build an augmented reality system, which has already been done, okay? If you build an augmented reality system, the trick is, how do you deploy it? How do you deploy that network? You know what I mean? It's like a cell phone network. If you have a cell phone network, you put up your own towers, right? And you can run your own network. Now, yeah, that's right. Ball Traveler Shan says, yeah, you set it up quietly, which is a good idea. So, but you need to have techs everywhere who could build these things and deploy them. So you'd have to teach them how to build them somehow, which brings us back to, you know, if only there was a media outlet where you could videotape how to build. Anyway. In brain case news, it looks like an ordinary baseball cap, but when you put it on, the cap detects and analyzes electroencephalogram, EEG, signals from your brain. It can even tell you if you're getting too sleepy when driving based on your brainwave patterns. It's a hack your head cap. Similar technology could also control home electronics such as TVs, computers, air conditioners, all just by thinking about it. A team of researchers from Taiwan has designed the new biosignal monitoring system inside the baseball cap with the goal of making it convenient and easy to use in everyday life. Since the system is wireless and portable and can process data to provide feedback in real time, it could be useful for a variety of indoor and outdoor applications. Yeah, no shit. This study details design, developed, and tested non-invasive mobiles, blah, 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 blah. So they're going on about, you know, the actual technology that's using this. Okay, let's get back to the cap. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's a magic cap. Now, what's the battery here? As researchers explain, by measuring EEG signals, the BCI system can monitor an individual's psychological and cognitive states. The system makes advantage of advances in sensor information technology. Currently, the system can operate continuously for about 2 days. Before the lithium-ion battery needs to be recharged. 2 days' life out of this bad boy. So that's deployable. The cap contains 5 embedded dry electrodes in the wearer's forehead and 1 electrode behind the left ear, acquiring EEG signals. Then the EEG signals are wirelessly transmitted to a data receiver where they are processed in real time by a dual-core processor. The BCI system includes Bluetooth transmission for distances of 10 meters or less, i.e. for driving applications, as well as RF transmissions. I need one of these. Okay, server, listen up. Army of the Flying Monkeys, we need to get these. We need to get these right now, and we need to build bad machines with them. Yes. Because honestly, if you're going to have a wearable, that would be the way to control it. I mean, let's cut the shit. If we're going to go for the man-machine interface, you better start looking at this, and you better start thinking about applying this to actually augmented reality. Do you see where I'm going with this? How can you tell the WOGs they're going to be the oldest guys in the room? Okay? Because we're going to be the ones who survive. Because that's the name of the game. You've got to get enough data together so that you know what you're doing. Anyway. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a bad one when you say ouch. And when I say guys, by the way, I hope you don't think I'm isolating the women. That's just an old bad habit I have. So just please bear with me. Much like my swearing, as Walter was quick to point out. Meet Space Event! Methuselah Foundation announces Aging 2008 at UCLA. Now, if you're down near UCLA, you want to go to this. Very, very cool. I would, if I could get a WOG reporter in there, my God, that'd be hot. I'd read a fair chunk of what you sent me back on the air. I mean, I'd have to do a news story for it, but I'd love to get a report from this thing from a WOG on the inside scoop. So, you know, what we could actually do. If you go in there and everybody's just smoking mirrors, we want stuff that people can actually use from this right now. Friday, June 27th, leading scientists and thinkers in stem cell research and regenerative medicine will gather in Los Angeles at UCLA for Aging 2008 to explain how their work can combat human aging, the sociological implications for developing rejuvenation therapies. Aging 2008 is free with advanced registration required. Yeah, baby! If you're there, go check it out. Dr. Aubrey de Grey, chairman and chief science officer of the Methuselah Foundation, which doesn't sound like a vampire organization at all, and he doesn't even look like a vampire at all. Anyway, he said our organization has raised about $10 million to crack open the log jams in longevity science. With the two-arm strategy of direct investment into key research projects and competitive prize to spur on scientists racing to break the rejuvenation and longevity records in lab mice, the foundation is actively accelerating the drive towards a future free of age-related degeneration. Oh my God. Speakers at Aging 2008 will argue that the near-term consequences of intense research into regenerative medicine could be the development of therapies that extend human life by decades, and if the therapies are applied in middle age, Peter Thiel, president of the Clareman Capital Initial Investor in Facebook and the lead sponsor of Aging 2008, said, "The time has come to challenge the inevitability of aging. This forum will provide an excellent opportunity to look at the scientific barriers that must be overcome to substantially extend human life, as well as the ethical implications of doing so." Okay, Peter, you're crazy, dude. Like, I hate to bring this up on you, man, but you're freaking out, dude. Like, really. You know, I'm all for it. Shit, if you make it happen, I'm all over it, man. But, they're framing you up like a James Bond supervillain, dude. Anyway, aging to it, but hey, I'm all in for the James Bond supervillain. You make me immortal? Good to go, okay? I mean, everyone has that question. You know, when you're all growing up, you watch vampire movies, which I'm going to watch after this. Footnote, because me personally, I just bought, that's right, I paid money for 4 Hammer horror films. I think we're going to watch Dracula 1973 tonight. I'm not even kidding. Or it's 1972, Dracula 1972. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyway, back to the Aging 2008. If you want to go check this out, it's aging the, what it is the aging as a disease, the cure implication hosted by the Methuselah Foundation. It's Friday, June 27th, 2008. Drinks at 4 p.m., presentations at 5 p.m., dinner at 8 p.m. at the Royce Hall, 405 Hillgard Ave, Los Angeles, California, 90024. So if you want to go check that out, go check that out. It's free, future registration, go now. Go now as you are listening to this, okay? If you have a mobile device, get on it now. Go there. Check that out because that is going to pack. Okay, you're not going to be able to get sitting room in there. Now, are you ready for this? I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the entire show. This is an article that ran in Rolling Stone. If you don't know about this and why I'm insisted upon setting things up and why people like Ball Traveler and Alex Peak and all these guys out there at Empower Thyself and in the WOG Network, those guys, why everybody's doing this, it's because of this particular story, which was covered by Naomi Klein, whose politics I don't agree with, okay, by the way. But anyway, 30 years ago, The city of Shenzhen didn't exist. Back in those days, it was a string of small fishing villages and collective-run rice paddies, a place of rutted dirt roads and traditional temples. That was before a Communist Party chose it, thanks to its location close to the Hong Kong port, to be China's first special economic zone, one of only four areas where capitalism would be permitted on a trial basis. The theory behind the experiment was that the real China would keep its socialist soul intact while profiting from the private sector jobs and industrial development created in Shenzhen. The rest of the city, the result was a city of pure commerce, undiluted by a history or rooted culture. The crack cocaine of capitalism. Shenzhen, man. That is the zone. It was a force so addictive to investors that the Shenzhen experiment quickly expanded, swallowing not only the surrounding Pearl River Delta, which now houses roughly 100,000 factories, but most of the rest of the country as well. As China prepares to showcase its economic advances during the upcoming Olympics in Beijing, Shenzhen is once again serving as a laboratory, a testing grounds for the next phase of this vast social experiment. Over the past 2 years, some 200,000 surveillance cameras have been installed throughout the city, many in public spaces disguised as lampposts. The closed-circuit TV cameras will soon be connected to a single nationwide network, an all-seeing system that will be capable of tracking and identifying anyone who comes within its range. A project driven in part by U.S. technology and investment, over the next 3 years, Chinese security executives predict they will install as many as 2 million closed-circuit TVs in Shenzhen alone, which would make it the most-watched city in the world. Shenzhen crazy. London boasts only about 500,000 surveillance cameras, okay, in relation to this. This is like total grid coverage. The security cameras are just one part of a much broader high-tech surveillance and censorship program known as China as the Golden Shield. The end goal is that the latest people-tracking technology thoughtfully supplied by American giants like IBM, Honeywell, and General Electric. Hey, we bring good nukes to life to create an airtight consumer cocoon, a place where Visa ads, Adidas sneakers, China mobile cell phones, McDonald's and Happy Meals, Tsingtao beer, and UPS delivery, just to name a few of the official sponsors of the Beijing Olympics, can be enjoyed under the unblinking eye of the state with a threat of democracy breaking out. With political unrest on the rise in China, the government hopes to use the surveillance shield to identify and counteract dissent before it explodes into a mass movement like the one grabbed the world's attention at Tiananmen Square. Remember how we were always told that free markets and free people go hand in hand? That was a lie. It turns out the most effective delivery system for capitalism is actually a communist-style police state fortress with an American homeland security technologies pumped up with a war on terror rhetoric, and the global corporations currently earning super profits from the social experiment are unlikely to be content if the lucrative new market remains confined within the city such as Shenzhen. Like everything else assembled in China with American parts, Police State 2.0 is ready for export to a neighborhood near you. This is a global problem. A lot of people are really tempted to just sit back and go, hey, you know what? It's a Chinese problem. It's a Chinese problem. You know what? So what? Let these people do whatever they want. It's not going to affect me. No. Where are you supposed the first place it's going to go is going to be? That's right. You guessed it. In one, where they already got the infrastructure set up, your friend and mine, the Great British Lion, who's currently getting cybernized more and more as we seek. Cybernetics are for people, not for governments. Okay? I don't know. Maybe, are we all overreacting? Are we all overreacting? Maybe having security is a good idea. I don't know. I'm always interested in well-thought-out feedback rather than usual bullshit rhetoric. I mean, let's look at, and wait now, before everyone goes, Sean, have you lost your goddamn mind? No. Here's what I'm thinking. Look at things like Appleseed. Look at, like, Shiro Matsumune and his work, and think about how he's got his government system set up. That's the model that these guys are going on. Maybe we're the ones being a little bit Luddite here. I don't know. I'd like to hear some arguments for it and then a couple arguments against it. I'd like to hear more arguments for it because I guess somebody must think this is a good idea. You know, and I'd like to hear some of their arguments. Maybe one world government is the way to go. If we're going to get to the stars, right? If we're going to go take over the galaxy and stuff like that, we should probably get our shit together. If having a one world government meant world peace, would it be worth it? Or is it not... is it not possible, right? Anyway, this is how Golden Shield's going to work. Chinese citizen will be watched around the clock through network CCTV cameras and remote monitoring of computers. They will be listened to on their phone calls, monitored by digital voice recognition technologies. Their internet access will be aggressively limited through the country's notorious system of online controls known as the Great Firewall. Their movements will be tracked through national ID cards with scannable computer chips and photos that are instantly uploaded by police databases linked to their holders' personal data. This is the most important element of all, linking all these tools together in a massive searchable database of names, photos, residency information, work history, and biometric data. When Golden Shield is finished, there will be a photo in those databases of every person in China, 1.3 billion faces, which is... With its militant protests on mobile population, China confronts a fundamental challenge. How can it maintain a system based on two dramatically unequal categories of people, or the winners who get the condos and the cars, and the losers who do heavy labor and denied those benefits? Note, it's the same have and have-nots in our own society. Okay? If we're talking about, you know, the winners and the losers and all that kind of stuff, there's more and more street people, like at the New Wasteland out there. Those people are going to... The peasants are going to start rioting... pretty well. More urgently, how can it do this when information technology threatens to link the losers together in a movement so large it could easily overwhelm the country's elite? Yeah. More urgently, how can it do this when an information technology threatens to link losers together with a movement so large it could easily overwhelm the country's elites? That's the key, isn't it? And the answer to this, the thing that kills the rats in the walls, is the Golden Shield. When Tibet erupted into protest recently, the surveillance system was thrown in its first live test. With every supposedly liberating tool in the information age, cell phones, satellite television, the internet, transformed into a method of repression and control. As soon as the protests gathered steam, China reinforced its great firewall, blocking its citizens from accessing dozens of foreign news outlets. But the facial recognition technology is not their own that they're using. It comes from an American company that you've never heard of. Now, this is interesting. There's an American company out there that's putting out this facial recognition technology that's soon to be renamed. Which she doesn't give its current name. She says soon to be renamed L1 Identity Solutions. So that's something to research. Based in Connecticut, L1 was created 2 years ago out of the mergers and buyouts of half a dozen major players in the biometrics field, all of which specialize in the science of identifying people through distinct physical traits, fingerprints, irises, face geometry. The merger made L1 a one-stop shop for biometrics, thanks to board members like the former CIA director, George Tenet. The company rapidly became a Homeland Security heavy hitter. L1 projects its annual revenues will hit $1 billion by 2011, and much of this from U.S. government contracts. In other words, this controversial U.S. crime control technology has already found its way into the hands of the Chinese police. Have you probably never heard of L1, but there's every chance that it has heard about you. Few companies have collected as much sensitive information about its U.S. citizens and visitors to America as L1. It boasts, this is a private organization, boasts a database of 60 million records. 60 million records, and it captures more than a million new fingerprints every year. Here is a small sample of what the company does. Produces passports and passport cards for American citizens. Jesus. Takes finger scans of visitors to the U.S. under the Department of Homeland Security, massive U.S. program visit equipment. Equips U.S. soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan with mobile iris and multimodal devices so they can collect biometric data in the field. It maintains the State Department's largest facial recognition database system and produces driver's licenses in Illinois, Montana, North Carolina. In addition, L1 has even more secretive intelligence units called SPECTAL. SPECTAL. Asked by Wall Street analysts to discuss its extremely general terms, it said what the division was doing was with contracts worth roughly $100 million. The company and CEO would only say, stay tuned to SPECTAL. How's that for a shadow-run organization? It is L1's deep integration with multiple U.S. government agencies that makes its dealings with China so interesting. This isn't just L1 that is potentially helping the Chinese police to nab its dissidents. It's U.S. taxpayers. The technology that Yao purchased, the guy who runs the company over there, for just a few thousand dollars is a result of Defense Department research grants and contracts going as far back as 1994, when a young academic named Joseph Attic, the research director force, a consultant on L1's China dealings, taught a computer at Rockefeller University to recognize his face. This is what will happen to the rest of the world. They will grind it in slowly, but rest assured, worse than this is coming. Because what if you add robots to the mix? Oh my God. Robot takeover news. Hey, General Dynamics Robotic System delivered its first 11-meter fleet class, 11-meter, 33 feet long, fleet class anti-submarine warfare unmanned surface vehicle. to the U.S. Navy on May 2nd as part of a Littoral Combat Ship LCS mission package. The General Dynamics Robot Systems is part of General Dynamics Land Systems, is a business unit of General Dynamics. General Dynamics has worked in partnership with the Navy team that includes Peel Literate Mine Warfare and Mission Package Systems. This is a robotic ship. They got a bunch of acronyms here. LCS is a fast, agile, focused mission platform designed to operations in near-shore environments to defeat asymmetric anti-access threats such as mines. This is like a robotic assassin gunboat, okay? Quiet diesel submarines and fast surface craft. This ASW-USV operates and supports payloads and sensor systems, including an unmanned towed array of sonar systems and an active multi-sync off-board low-frequency sonar system. The General Dynamics design vehicle provides with high-speed, high-payload capable craft with an excellent CCAP characteristics along with state-of-the-art unmanned navigation with autonomous control, a capability that includes 360-degree situational awareness. It can deliver a payload of 5,000 pounds, beam length of 11.2 feet, and is capable of operating continuously for 24 hours or more. During high-speed transits, vehicle can reach speeds of 35 knots or higher. Doesn't say how much higher it can go. Government-developed bow latch will launch and recover the unmanned surface vehicle from the LCS. The semi-autonomous vehicle, USV, is capable of waypoint navigation, seakeeping, and station keeping. Very interesting and soon to be used probably in faking another massive event. Isn't that something insane? We've got cybertech gunboats. Have I got time for one more story? I'm going to try to get one more story out to you guys, okay? In dock wagon news, just because this is cyberpunk as it gets, okay? A group of Israeli technology defense firms are working on what could become the world's first robotic aircraft for evacuation and even treating soldiers injured on the battlefield. Let's just hope the technology is a little slicker than the copyright art. Israel's Fisher Institute in Air Strategy Space Studies is working with local techies and arms makers to build a Med UAV, a combination of duct fan flying drone and robotic ambulance, according to Defense News, Barbara Opal, in Rome. The institute is hoping to start test flights in 24 months. Eventually, his idea to carry up to 4 passengers at speeds of 150 knots and heights up to 10,000 feet. Okay, well, that's pretty cool. If we get this thing off the ground, man, you want to check that out. That's a hell of a piece of tech. Daily hacks today. Okay, well, since we're already into augmented reality, let's borg out with your do-it-yourself camera glasses sent in by Paladin2112. And as well, because you like to be situationally aware, let's talk about blue sniping, how to do it with a Nokia phone, how to attack and capture audio on a Bluetooth headset using a handheld Nokia phone. Play nice. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. Hey, if you cannot donate this to this program, please distribute, hand it out to people like Walter, so that, you know, they know that there's people out there who care about them no matter what they think. And if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Apples website, or please send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M, 2M4. Because the money that I'm going to be taking from that, I'm going to be using to build a wearable and filming it and giving it back to you. I think it's pretty fair, huh? What do you think? Maybe I should make a donation project for that or something. I don't know. Seems kind of creepy. I don't like to take people's money. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check some Psytrance out. Good stuff. And I am going to fade out now with, I don't know, some more Psytrance. I think I'm going to play Release Me, which is from, of course, The Gathering by Infected Mushroom. Good tune. Good tune. Enjoy it. Remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, hey, that's what server said. End of line.
Open the door. Get him out of there.
No, wait.
Now there is much we can learn from each other if we can negotiate a truce. We can find a way to coexist. Can there be a peace between